Please listen with the motivation of bodhicitta, which is the thought that all beings throughout space must be brought to the state of perfect Buddhahood, and that it is in order to bring that about that you will listen to the profound and holy Dharma. We are concerned here with the six perfections, the essence of the Mahayana path. Of these, yesterday we went through the first two, the perfections of generosity and morality. Today we begin with the perfection of patience. Yesterday we saw that in addition to the patience, which is in addition to the generosity, which is a type of freedom from attachment such that one can give to others, one also needs the circumspection and awareness which constitute morality to restrain oneself in order to behave appropriately. But even though one possesses both generosity and morality, if one lacks patience, the virtue of one's generosity and morality will go to waste. To give you a simple but not uncommon example, often someone will be helpful to others and sometimes work very, very hard at helping others. But then at some point, they burn out, they become discouraged. And as a result, they become resentful of those they have helped and feel that everything they have done for others has been pointless. And this causes what they have achieved to go to
waste.
If you lack patience, as Shantideva points out in the Bodhicharavatara, you will be poisoned and sickened by your own anger and will be unable to be happy or at
ease.
If you're angry, you will never be relaxed and never happy. If you're angry, you can't even sleep at night. You spend all night ruminating over what to do about your enemies and those you hate. And although you may eat, the food will have no flavor. In addition, of course, if you're angry, you'll be a nuisance to others.
Then 디 코르돌라 요보양 당보다 가시 몰기든들 용교어래데 이나양 거기 시가다 접어 통원데 당을 매나매 디 요보 주도서 말에 삼된데네 르당게라 도보 도모 이나야 당보 하모거든 도보 도모 차그래데 규벤저 개변라 삼보다네 용교어데 네 거기 시가 통원데 심지 다 장로 장로인데 담마들 안치불로 얘기 인가이어래
Nobody likes angry people. If you're impatient, if you lack patience, then even if you're very wealthy and powerful and people approach you for work because of your position or wealth, or people are personally attracted to you because of your position or wealth, they will abandon you. Employees will be unable to work with you. They'll say, I don't care how much he pays me, I cannot work with this jerk. And friends, lovers, will abandon you as well. They may be attracted by your prominence, but they will be disheartened by your character. In the Bodhicharavatara, it says, there is no evil worse than anger, and there is no virtuous austerity greater than patience. By using the term virtuous austerity, Shantideva makes it clear that patience is not easy. It is hard work, but also that it is unsurpassable in its goodness.
That day in the end, she will like it in the serval and then the chair, not so to come with this. That she down the long arms do some of them by now. The net Jacob Chigi, Jacob Susola, Tim Yore, Lusol Yore, Didan, Tim Dan Lusso Timberting, and to Jacob Yore, Tim Dan Kawa, Lusso Dan Matimba, this sweet journey is not so so journey, the net Chick, Tim Dan Timber Jona, Rana.
Shantideva compares acting out of anger to breaking the law. But in fact, it is worse. Regardless of how great one's offense against the laws and customs of one's nation, the worst punishment that can be imposed is capital punishment, which kills you, or lesser punishments such as imprisonment. But these cannot send you to a lower realm, whereas the offenses you commit through anger can cast you into a lower birth. Especially anger is the principal cause of the worst rebirth in a hell realm, as is taught by in many sutras and as reasoning and the words of holy beings can authenticate. The cause of hell is not external to us. It is our own anger. And therefore, if we fail to control our minds, fail to control our anger, we can actually cause this type of rebirth for ourselves.
Shedang shengi so la jibwa ta tende yonggyo re dina shengi ngaranzo ye shedangde shuk chumbo langso na dina rangi chobu chomor meba tangye pama tang pyo chukbar tu meba tangye dina chi ta nye sanne yunme chikba la matunba so ye ta ring san dita shen shen la ta nubba nubi sem tam chi cawa kaal tende yonggyo shedangde tende yonggyo re dina dina chi ngaranzo ngaran sem tabu jaye de gejim chadeyo re.
Traditionally, we compare an angry person to a snake. Now, if you think about snakes, they're actually kind of cute. They don't have legs. They don't have arms or hands, so they can't grab you. They don't have wings. They can't fly at you. And they don't have horns to butt you with. And yet everybody's afraid of snakes, as cute as they are. Because as defenseless and even pitiful as they may seem to be, they have fangs and, in many cases, poison, and therefore can be very dangerous. Angry people are like snakes, in that as cute as they may be in every other way, they harbor this hidden poisonous weapon of their own anger. And sooner or later, regardless of what other attributes they may have, they will create disharmony around them, and they will drive everybody around them away, and also bring harm to others.
Shedangi, Shedangi, Sobokumsaki, Yurtabudi, Sulokumus and Talakumukure, Pamalani, Sobokumungare, Tobutomolani, Sobokumungare, Nepugulani, Tachiran Sobachumana, Kumungare, Pena Pamegiran la Tamjashubatang, Tobutum Akasna, Tajiki Tamjashubanilla, Shuil, Nazadan Chikborete in a single tonala, Chejungure. He Pamashus on some data chicken, Yabushin, if you do some mission bush nothing, I'll touch you there some lansan.
Now, primarily, we need to exercise patience with our enemies. From time to time, we experience slight situations with our parents, with our siblings, with our loved ones, with our children, which require patience. But it's not quite the same thing. Even when those in your family or those you love behave in a way that upsets you, you have a fundamental assumption of their benevolent attitude toward you. So it doesn't actually require that much patience or that much forgiveness to forgive them. On the other hand, when you think of somebody as your enemy, if they say or do the same thing that one of your loved ones did, because of your attitude toward them, it requires much more on your part to be able to forgive them.
The Samsung Garanzo, some computer, Tang, Motoki, technology, Legalindi, Tesotolacha, then the Zuloku, Ranshinki, Sabamagum Ramucharoda, Ta, the Tavshaka, and many, the computer short term to charge, Gendo Chana, the Nesubacum, the other, then the Zula, Tambush Kundus, take it at Dinea, Tavsha Yamarita.
Sometimes we are forced into patience by the failures of technology. For example, when we're working on our computer, and it crashes, or we're driving our car and it breaks down. In those cases, initially we experience an upsurge of anger or irritation, but we are forced by the situation, the choicelessness of the situation, to be patient. We simply have to wait for the technology to be repaired. Therefore, in the presentation of patience as one of the six perfections, principally, what is being talked about is the conscious exercise of patience as a remedy for anger, strong anger. And the reason for this is that, as is taught in general, and especially clearly taught in the Bodhicaryavatara, anger is the worst obstacle to our development of virtue. And a strong outburst of anger can actually, as Shantideva wrote, destroy all of our virtue. And as Shantideva also points out, just as there is great danger to anger, there are equally great benefits to patience. Now, if we leave the Bodhicaryavatara aside for a moment and return to the 37 practices of the Bodhisattvas from which I quoted yesterday, this text, which is concise and easy to understand, explains extensively both the benefits of patience and the defects of lacking it. There are, in fact, about 7 or 8 stanzas in the 37, of the 37, that are devoted principally to patience. And as I said, they're easy to understand. So I think if you read them and consider them carefully, you'll be able to understand what they're saying. So I'm not going to dwell on them because we have limited time. There are three aspects of patience. The first is literally not making a big deal or not thinking anything of the harm caused you by others. So not resenting your enemies or those who harm you. The second is the patience that is the willing acceptance of necessary suffering. And the third is the patience that is not being frightened of the profound meaning of Dharma. So this is sometimes explained as the patience that comes from a certain confidence in Dharma. Essentially, the first type of patience, thinking nothing of or not making a big deal out of others' abuse of you, is when somebody harms you in some way. They harm you physically, or they speak harshly to you, or they say or do something that hurts your feelings. So they harm you in body, speech, or mind. Or they harm your stuff. They steal your money or your possessions, or they break them or whatever. In all of these situations, it is instinctive for us to become angry. But what is important here is not to give in to the anger. And by not giving in to the anger, you don't react to the person aggressively. Now, how do you do this? By reminding yourself of the greater context of the situation. Although at this time, this person has done such and such a thing to me, in previous lives, they were many times my parent, my child, and so on. Like me, they are ignorant. And therefore, whatever they have done, they have acted out of ignorance. There's no point in my getting angry at them and acting out of ignorance myself. And you simply have to be realistic and think about what anger does. And remind yourself, if I get angry, it's not going to help me. It's certainly not going to help them. And it is probably going to harm both of us. Whereas if I am patient, it will help me, will help them, and will harm no one. So the essence, really, of this first type of patience, thinking nothing of the abusive actions of others, is what it sounds like. Not to give it undue importance, not to make a bigger deal out of it than it is, and not to obsess about it, taking it out of the greater context. The way that you do this, and it's somewhat difficult to do in the beginning, the way that you do this is by reminding yourself, this person who has hurt me is an ordinary being. Therefore, they have desire, aggression, apathy, pride, and jealousy. Therefore, from time to time, like me, they are overpowered by one or another of these and do something harmful to others. I shouldn't be surprised by this. And if you think, if I react with anger, then I'm just unnecessarily perpetuating a negative situation. Shantideva gives an analogy for this. He says that ordinary beings are like fire. You know that if you touch fire, you're going to get burned. Therefore, when you touch fire accidentally, of course, you're distressed, but you don't get angry at the fire because you know that's just the way fire is. It burns. Well, ordinary beings are like that. Just as fire has a burning heat, we all have these five poisons. And that's just the way we are. It is as pointless and inappropriate to get angry at someone for having the five poisons as to get angry at fire for being hot. Now, just as if you were to get angry at fire, it would not change its temperature and would not heal your burns. Getting angry at somebody else will just make them feel bad to no purpose, will not make you feel any better, will make you feel worse. So it harms both. The second aspect of patience is the acceptance of suffering. Having been born in samsara, we experience all types of suffering. And of course, we describe the sufferings of samsara as unbearable. But sometimes we have no choice but to put up with them. When the weather is cold, you may not like it, but you have no choice. It's cold. You just have to deal with it. When the weather is too hot, you may not like the heat, but you have no choice. You just have to put up with it. Referring to this type of patience in the 37 practices of the Bodhisattvas, it says, for example, when others bully one, it is the practice of a Bodhisattva to feel only compassion for that bully, recognizing that they are under the control of anger. When someone acts inappropriately, speaks arrogantly toward one, or bullies one, or oppresses one in some way, we could get angry at them. But in all these cases, the person is acting that way because they are afflicted and overpowered by their own anger. It is therefore appropriate and more reasonable to feel compassion for them, because if they are afflicted and overpowered by their anger, they are definitely suffering and will continue to do so. And also, it says in the 37 practices, in that case, a bodhisattva will actually aspire that the wrongdoing the person accumulates, the imprint of the wrongdoing, will ripen for them and not for the abuser or bully. Because, as it says in the Bodhicaryavatara, when you think of somebody behaving aggressively to you, in a sense, you have become the condition for their accumulation of the cause of great future suffering. Their abuse in itself only causes you temporary or slight suffering. It will cause them, because of the way karma works, much worse suffering in the future. Therefore, it is appropriate to aspire that their karma not ripen for them, but for you alone.
That's a chugi chitula kawa cheba tamate. Nayam samsam aransu, that's a yamlin chitu kapsula, the net kum jamnayang, kashi, lu mateba yoye, that's a big kangal mambu yum curite, tesula, the net kangal chetusone, sundrice, the net 잠잠 남아되게 최대 망보 대수 전행 무엇에 들어가라 양 근데 장비 동화 법의 동화 근데 지금 옆의 동화 망보 영어로 동화 담제 그래서 두 번째 고요래 그래.
The third type of patience, patience with Dharma, includes not only patience with the profound meaning of it, but also patience with the austerity or difficulty involved in the study and practice of Dharma. For example, when one is practicing, one may become tired, and yet one continues. Or, when one is listening to teachings, one may become cold or hot or hungry or thirsty or bored. In all those cases, one has to be patient.
That's it. When it's not that, and then the subo combo latin, and it's in the key by now. Nancy, Nancy, Nello, the Chinji Maloba, Yang, the Botogere, and Maranza Chisimilla, Rebagi, Pulio, Kazuka, Wachedu, Nancy, Hanshi to Kale Jabure, and the Bichu, Chido Kale Jabure, Nancy's, and Yuki Kangatam to subo com, and it's in the table at any, and it's a musicla, Sandy Comantobare, then Tinashing Maranza. 내가 강다 강하지나야 장하충을로 서버검네 깔려잡아나 내 랑이 대전담도 좀더 연결해라 대매바이나 장하충을라 다 센시티브 잡고 남산남산 조바 잡조조 남산미를 가지고 당조조 다 내내 제바이나 내 랑도야 미주 내 대전담자야 미주 제야 랑라 막아와 차이디 저는 말한줄로 서버매발 내 연결해 강도도 서버검네 개침벌해 삼미도
If you have this type of patience, then you will be able to exert yourself in the practice of Dharma. And you will be able to realize the nature of things. Ask yourself, why was Jitsen Milarepa so diligent? Why did he undergo such great austerities so that he could, and did, achieve perfect Buddhahood in one life and one body? This is true of anything. The more patient we are, the more successful we will be in our endeavors, whatever they may be. And the less patient we are, the less we will be able to succeed. And especially if we are so impatient that we are oversensitive to others and to every condition around us, it will be very difficult for us to achieve anything.
That some some hundred some some dark or so. Don't have talent to serve at that. Around some one, Lutti, Billy Shadaki Pumble, Drew the Bandi, and another time in the Mumbo Yungure, another time in the Mumbo Yundi, then Amji Saladone, Amjiki, Tu, Re, Nakap, Tu, Natakton, Karajanaya, Subacom Gurta, Don't have them to Segur, Daddy.
For example, in the case of the second type of patients, the acceptance of suffering. As we have illusory bodies, compounds of flesh and blood, we get sick from time to time. And we are patient with the inconvenience and pain of the necessary medical treatment. Even though surgeons slice us wide open and doctors stick all kinds of needles into us, draw blood from us, and do all sorts of other things that are painful and unpleasant, we put up with it because we feel we have a good reason to do so.
I'll
leave the topic of patience now, but before doing so, I want to conclude this topic by saying that the most important patience for all of you to practice is the patience that is required in working together as a Sangha, as a community. And by this I mean that it's important not to be reactive, not to have hair trigger tempers, not to be oversensitive, so that you're ready and waiting for someone to say the wrong thing so you can jump on them. If you're like that, then then the whole situation becomes extremely fractious and unworkable. Now, I'm not saying that you're like that. I know that you're not like that. I'm just saying that this kind of thing can happen. It's possible it might happen at some point in the future. So in case this type of situation should ever happen, just don't be oversensitive.
단님한테 준비를만 하고도 되는데만 나가서 말았다.
We better move on and get to diligence.
더 준비를 세겠네. 저 난 레로긴 엠보래. 더 빠진 순바데 레로이나 내가 알아서 주 주두고 말해. 내가 그냥 제대로 말해. 진바야 다야 용어 말해. 저림 소야라. 근데 지금 야바 여병 알아 되네. 고슴 밤에도 왕도 쇼네 되네. 니다. 나지.
Diligence is the remedy for laziness. And laziness impedes everything. If you're lazy, you can't bother to be generous. If you're lazy, you can't bother to practice moral discipline. If you're lazy, you won't bother to be patient. You won't bother to do anything. There are several types of laziness. There is the laziness that comes from a denigration of oneself, believing that you're incapable of anything, so there's no point in trying. There's the laziness that is being addicted to doing nothing. And there's the laziness that is addiction to negative behaviors. In the sutra requested by Sagaramati, it says, the lazy achieve nothing. They do not achieve the perfection of generosity, nor the perfection of moral discipline, and so on, up to and including the perfection of wisdom.
근데 저기 레로 여잖아. 근데 준주여 말해. 준주면아 내 갈보 있는 담제 공벨도 조금 말해. 갈보 있는 담제야 집도 그래.
If you're lazy, you will not be diligent. And if you're not diligent, you will not achieve any virtuous attributes.
다들 저랑서 하고 그래. 레로 여나. 근데 저랑서 직등기 자와 가난 가지나야 되었던 다 좀 약간 하고 그래.
You know this for yourselves. You've seen in your own lives that if you're lazy, you can't achieve any worldly aim or ambition. Lazy students don't learn and fail their classes. But what is diligence? Diligence is enthusiasm for virtue.
담보 군들레 내가 그랬었는데 순주 간세나스 레로긴 임보인스 개월로 오버트오스.
For example, in the Abhidhamma Samuchaya, it says, "What is diligence? It is an enthusiasm for virtue that overcomes laziness."
다 순주 공부를 제일 낮이 단계 알아서 심주
Fundamentally, diligence requires confidence. It requires the attitude, I can do it. Even if others cannot do it, I can do it. One type of laziness is indolence, which is being attached to the pleasure or well-being of doing nothing, sleeping your life away, simply lying around doing nothing. And we need to get beyond that, because that is an impediment to the practice of virtue.
Da sanje jomnen dege do na le song me gelong da me da bo kom go re she gyo re she ba ne tips da gyo ne mo dege mar da s ne ma che lo ge re ge cha de me ya me sa re me sa ra na wa ya da de zo men ru ko da me go re cha re da she ba de zo nyam ru gyo re s da de na se le yong a ge cha wa cha wa sa na ya de ne yu de so ya de ne cha de so nyam ru de ga la ne ne ba me ba cha ru gyo re na gi she ba de so ya de ne selbu me ba cha ru gyo re de ndu da Tanda chegores dharma kapsulata. Sukungi karsona shebane drips tamata so chedogores.
In the sutras, the Buddha said, "Bhikshus, be diligent, contemplate impermanence. Your consciousnesses will fail you. Your life will come to an end." When he said your consciousnesses will fail you, what he means is, at some point, your senses will stop working properly. You will become progressively unable to see, unable to hear, and so on, which means that the eye consciousness and ear consciousness and so on will become dimmer and dimmer. And internally, the mental consciousness itself will become progressively more obscure. Then finally, you will die. Therefore, there is no time to waste.
Dechina, tata tumbi tenpa, ne, tamga tobi tuzi tila, ne lula, ne chik umbo tala pape kapsula, nipa yeba kapsula, tsundri tan, tulwa tenpa chukuris.
He continued, "Not only will your life come to an end, but my teachings will eventually disappear. So therefore, practice with exertion while you have the chance."
Tati nashingi chunju nala yang, iten mirung, chedang machi mitubi, Adamina, Kunjit, Lobrzella, Imetens, and that. Around so Tembojan and Hulujan, then a young Maris. She was in the Kaduyon Hako Maris, Lo Debojan and Ashiki Mare, Ada Lopaje, Yatamba Tigre, Tunju Jesu Tigres, and the listener, Nestem Hulujan, and Deo Maris. Nancy, do you Namchilla? Sangi Chion, I do love to hear Mare. She will let her do the Chawaches and Machida.
And in the Bodhicharavatara, Shantideva wrote, "Death is untrustworthy. You never know when he will arrive at your door. You therefore cannot rest easy in the assumption, 'I will be alive
tomorrow.'" Namju crash to among Bure, and then such earthquake down, tsunami, Tatam, Tendiki, Chi, Chibayan, Mambuyo Bure, then Nangian, say Maturbat, and come Maturbat, and that Tendelatene, and the King, Tam Medalatene, and Lubulu, and Shiduki, Mambure, then Dindu, some religion and Mades, Tatan, the Tundusumu Gudus, Chu Jaguaradas, Yumleki Lelogen, the young Maris, the Tundu Jaguaris.
He continues, "Whether you are sick or healthy, death may come for you at any time. We always imagine that we'll know when we're going to die because we'll become ill and we'll have some warning, some time to prepare. But that is not necessarily the case. Whether you are in ill health or excellent health, you could die at any moment. You could be in a plane crash, a car crash, caught in an earthquake, drowned or destroyed by a tsunami. You could choke on your food, or you could be poisoned by your food. There is no time to waste. We have to practice Dharma now, because we have no idea how long we're going to be alive." Even the things we do to try to keep ourselves alive can kill us. People go to doctors for medical treatment, but sometimes the medical treatment kills them.
Lulujin delong yo mares 남상 메딜레 독답 제거를 된다신다 준주 제거를 삼주 제거를
So because we have no idea when some sudden circumstance will cause our sudden death, we cannot afford to relax and take it easy. We need to practice with diligence. Now, what is the definition of diligence here? It is prioritization. Prioritization, the way you would prioritize if, for example, a poisonous snake landed suddenly in your lap. You would not take time out to deal with other things first. You would deal with the snake. Or if your hair suddenly caught fire, you would stop what you're doing and deal with the fire on your head. That's prioritization. The second type of laziness is the laziness of self-denigration. This is the thought, I simply can't do it. I'm not capable of it. I can't achieve perfect awakening. I'm not good enough. Or the similar thought, I might be able to do it, but it's too hard. I don't want to try. There are too many difficulties involved in the achievement of awakening. The path is too long. I can't be bothered.
Nanti tuduh komandannya nare, lama komandannya nare, dia nasib ni, nanti, na, cuma nanti ni, sembah tu sana, tu sama je tu sana ngaji macam kaya re, ngaji tu guru re sana tu nene sembla, pakai ni, tujuh sembuh guru re.
The remedy for that is self-confidence, and the self-confidence here comes from thinking clearly. You are a human being, therefore, you are capable of what other human beings are capable of. All of the siddhas, all of the great gurus who've achieved awakening that you know of, were all human beings. If they did it, you can do it. If you take that attitude and say, I can do it, you will be able to be diligent. The third type of diligence here is actual self-hatred. This type of self-hatred is actually where you hate yourself so much that you give up on anything virtuous, and you think, I had better just invest my time in wrongdoing, because at least I'll have fun. I'm not capable of any better than that. So usually when they divide diligence, they put self-hatred as the second, and this one is attachment to negative behaviors. There are three types of diligence. The first is the armor-like diligence. Armor-like diligence means long-term commitment. It is preparing yourself for virtuous endeavors by donning the armor of unconditional commitment. Unconditional commitment is like armor in that when a warrior enters the battlefield, they will have already put on their armor. And that armor, which will not be broken during the battle, hopefully, gives them the confidence, I can withstand the enemy's blows. I can kill my enemies. In the same way, since we're concerned here with the Mahayana, the six perfections being a Mahayana discipline, one begins with the armor-like commitment, I will, no matter what, bring all beings to Buddhahood. In order to do that, I will, no matter what, make myself capable of bringing all beings to Buddhahood. And that unconditional commitment is what's called armor-like diligence. The stanza on diligence in the 37 practices of the Bodhisattva says, if Shravakas and Pratyeka Buddhas who seek only their own liberation are as diligent as someone whose head has caught fire, what need is there to say that it is the practice of bodhisattvas who seek the liberation and awakening of all beings to be diligent? If Shravakas and Pratyeka Buddhas, who only seek the achievement of their own personal liberation as an arhat, are as diligent in the achievement of that as somebody whose hair or head has caught fire, then there's no need to say that we, who seek not only our own liberation, but that of all beings, must be all the more diligent. The second aspect of diligence is diligence in application. The first is commitment, the second is follow-through. This means that simply having confidence of unconditional commitment, of course, is not enough. You have to fulfill it. You have to actually do it. The Dambo de Gujo de Tatur. Gocha dan Gujo Chikpa Ere. Chikpa Rawa.
Chikpa Rawa Reda.
Sometimes diligence is explained as twofold, in which case the armor-like diligence is called the diligence of devoted application, which means the momentum of an intense intention. In that case, this one, the diligence in application, is called the diligence of constancy in application, which means to keep on at it continuously. The need for this second type of diligence is that the diligence of devoted application is the supplies the initial momentum for one's continuous diligence, but that momentum itself is temporary, and therefore there is need for continuous application so that the momentum is not lost to inertia. For example, it's a little bit, to give you a very mundane example, the diligence of devotion, devoted application, is a little bit like being a rock star groupie. Rock star groupies, when they're in the presence of the person of whom they are a fan, go nuts. And they'll set aside their lives, everything they're doing, to follow or chase that rock star. But this kind of enthusiasm is not enough for continuous application. But groupies do kind of stick with it, though, you know. They have both types of diligence. I mean, there's some really old groupies who've been doing it for like a really long time.
다저기 준비돼 제 중전시에네.
맞아.
중전양 담보 안들에도 담보장 두 번째 날에 삼 번째 내가 내가지 제게 나야 내가 내당대 야보하고 율대 야보하고 근데 제 뒤에 당고 냠용 위험하다 냠용 바람지 뜨네 준링 부 제나 네 제마 자랑라 대고라 냠용 야보자 나 자랑 전한테는 지 대통 대통의 메시지 대지수도 배 연구요로 대나신 때는 저 출연나 준주 준링 부 전에 된 람름지 름지 공부도 저도 그래 대만아 홉스컬라 때는 지 직준주제 되네 배우잖아 아제 용어 말에 자랑서 메카시 내가 망 부 제보잖아 되는 지 간남진이 메상마 콜라 내가 살아 때로 지금이다. 거다 싫어야 고요 말에 돌아. 뒤져 보자 인가요.
So whereas the diligence of devoted application comes from a kind of excitement, the diligence of constant application comes from reasoned thinking. It comes from a level-headed, proper, reasoned understanding of what is to be gained from constant diligence. And this second type of diligence is necessary in order to go through the day after day process of a long and gradual path. Otherwise, the initial diligence will only lead to a kind of burst of enthusiasm that will eventually wear out. Like somebody who, when they work very, very hard at the beginning of a job and then gradually do less and less and less as they become less interested in it. Such a person will eventually become unemployable. But this is why, for example, when Mahamudra or similar disciplines are taught, for example, in the context of teaching shamatha meditation, it's always said that shamatha should be practiced by beginners for short periods, but frequent. By practicing frequently, but for short periods, you do not become disaffected with the practice. If you attempt to force yourself to practice shamatha for too long a time in the beginning, you will become tired, which will lead to you becoming bored, which will lead to you becoming disaffected, which will lead to you becoming resentful. You'll think, this practice is causing me problems. It's driving me nuts. An example of the diligence of devoted application is when students cram for exams. They cram as the exams approach so that they know the stuff and be able to pass the exam and graduate. But when you learn things by cramming for tests, you will have forgotten them. A month or two after your graduation, you won't remember any of it. Had you studied the material gradually and constantly over time, you would forget less of it.
Why
is diligence appropriate for us? Diligence is appropriate because we all have Buddha nature. Buddha nature is the nature of our mind. Therefore, that being the case, if we meditate with diligence, receiving authentic instruction from authentic masters and teachers, we will gradually reduce and finally eliminate our delusion. We will gradually increase and finally perfect the wisdom of self-recognition. And finally, we will have a complete realization of our own nature. That is why we should be diligent. If you find yourself discouraged from time to time, then the Buddha prescribed the remedy of contemplation of impermanence. He said the best remedy for discouragement is to remind yourself that all composites are impermanent, that even the Buddha's teachings will pass away, that our lives will come to an end, that the sun will set. We are all going to die. Somehow, even when we hear or read about the deaths of others, we manage to think of it as, well, that happened to them, but that's not happening to me. But it is going to happen to you. Every time you hear or read of someone's death, you should put yourself in their place. Imagine that it's happening to you. Imagine what it feels like, what it would feel like if you died in the same way as that person about whom you heard or read. Remember that the only thing that will help you at death is Dharma. And for Dharma to help you at death, you have to practice now. It will be too late to start practicing when you're dying, let alone when you're dead. Everything aside from practice that we do in this life is pretty much concerned with our needs and wants in this life. And all of our needs and wants in this life will have become totally irrelevant the moment after we die. Because everything we need and want in this life is basically about comfort. Comforting our bodies, comforting our minds. At best, comforting those around us. But we are going to leave those around us when we die. We will all die alone. And we are going to leave our own bodies when we die. So everything we've done to gratify, protect, and comfort the body, and everything we've done to create a good and harmonious situation within society will become totally irrelevant the moment after our death. So now we'll move on to the fifth perfection, meditation. The need for meditation is that even though we may possess generosity, morality, patience, and diligence, we still need to focus our minds one-pointedly on a virtuous object. We do not define the perfection of meditation as focusing the mind one-pointedly on an unvirtuous object. It includes the idea that the mind is one-pointedly focused on something good, something virtuous. Because without that one-pointed focus on a virtuous object, our minds will be overwhelmed by attachment, aversion, jealousy, pride, and apathy. If we can succeed in focusing our minds one-pointedly on a virtuous object, then we gain control over these five poisons. They no longer control us, we control them. Which means that because we are free of their control, free from being overwhelmed by them, we will be relaxed and at ease.
Da semde hulle rangba da chen yu te zho da cha de chen bu ki da ma da 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 na shen ki da pa shen zhu ka zhu la sam den den gyu da zho ki da ma da ma la ten ne ne sen te ki di da du ne da semde rangba psha gu gyu re ma na chen ki sem rangba psha mu tu ba tene yon du am zhi za zho ne kap jam ne rangba psha ya yo ma re shak zhu da ne du gu pa yu ne ne sang bu hulle psha ya yo ma re rang ki rang
In the Mahamudra discipline and in the context of the presentation of the fifth perfection, in both cases, we are taught to relax our minds, to learn to let our minds come to a natural and free state of rest within themselves.